Ways and Means Natural Resources Subcommittee, and we will continue our work session on House Bill 5043, which is the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board budget. Mr. Rocco.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We left off earlier on page three of the memo. We were about to get to, we were discussing item D, which was a recommendation to not fund package 112, and there was discussion of including a budget note. So when we get to a point to make decisions, we will have to include that budget note in the recommendation. The next item is item E, which is package 114, and that is on page three of the memo, and it's the second item on page seven of the spreadsheet. And we recommend it. This is a reclassification package, and there's three positions reclassified in this package, including the director, assistant director, and the director's assistant. We're recommending approval of these reclassifications. These are slightly different, I believe, than the ones that were discussed by the subcommittee and other agencies, because in this case, I think the director's position was clearly below where it needs to be given the size of this agency and program. Those have all gone through the review process and have been administratively approved already at this point. The only change we would recommend is a reduction of $112 of lottery funds for the PERS adjustment. In addition to the three reclasses that I mentioned, there's also five others in this that do not include funding for them. They will be done within the agency's base budget. The next item is package 118, which is a restoration package to restore lottery funds that were removed in an 050 package because of shortfalls. Those shortfalls did not materialize, so the recommendation is to approve this package, which brings the CSL back to where it should be. Item G is package 120, which is the Oregon Plan implementation. This is the budget portion of those fiscal impacts and the bills that you talked about yesterday or Saturday, Senate bills 945 and 946. The agency's budget had this package in it in anticipation of the kinds of things that those two bills were going to suggest that the agency do, and this package would cover those activities. Legislative fiscal is recommending approving five of the positions as permanent, and those include an NRS 5 and an NRS 4, and these are the two positions that currently exist within the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And when that budget comes forward, you will see that they are eliminated from that budget. So there's a net to the state of zero for these two positions, a net increase of zero. There's an NRS 3 and an Information Specialist 7 and an Office Specialist 2 also being recommended for permanent status. There's an additional position, which is an Information Specialist 8. LFO is recommending this as limited duration, and if you've looked in the budget documentation, this position is responsible for developing a statewide strategy for standardizing natural resource data and coordinating development protocols for GIS data. And based on the kinds of functions assigned to this position, LFO believes that initially this should be a limited duration position, which would allow the legislature to review how it fits in to the overall program next session when the agency comes back and asks for it to be continued.
So, Mr. Rocco, just on clarification, the GIS position is the one that was in the bill that we heard yesterday, or rather on Saturday.
Madam Chair, yes, that was the position that was in 946.
Thank you.
In addition to as a limited duration, LFO is also recommending using some of the federal funds from the first fiscal year of the next biennium allotment from or award from the National Marine Fisheries Service. of $270,000. Under the agreement that the agency has with NIMS, there is an allowance to use up to 3% of that grant amount for administrative functions. And we believe this would be a good administrative use of those $270,000. And it reduces the need for lottery funds by using that money. So the net effect of this would be to, if the LFO's recommendation is to reduce the lottery funds by $271,447 and provide in this package $270,000 of federal funds limitation from that Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Program. And approve 6 FTE, 5 permanent, 1 limited duration. The next package, Madam Chair, is the package 116, which is item H on page 4. This is the federal funds program. Because of the some of the changes that in the federal funds program, LFO is recommending that we eliminate this package of $10,992,571 of federal funds and take care of it in two new packages, that one would be for carry forward and one would be for new funding. And the reason for this is that the some of this package was reduced in the governor's recommended budget because the governor used some of the federal money initially in the recommended budget for two packages that we'll get to in a minute. So this number has sort of lost its meaning in a way, and I think it's easier just to get rid of this and then restore it all in two different packages, one that is for new and one that is for carry forward. Item I is one of the packages that in the original governor's budget was recommended for funding using federal funds, and this is the Willamette Restoration Initiative, package 121. LFO is recommending denial. Again, this is a package that if the OWEB wishes to use federal funds at some point to do this function, I guess that is up to their decision to do that if the restoration initiative goes through the process,
so
the grant
Dukes,
process.
Would you care to make a comment on that?
I may be speaking just for myself, but I don't think so. We'd frown at you a whole lot if you did it. What he is suggesting you might possibly be able to do.
You said frown.
Frown.
That's what I thought you said.
If I might add, too, I think that we have had a very thorough discussion of the Willamette Restoration Initiative and the role that it has played in developing the Willamette chapter to the Oregon Plan. And I think it's very clear what the legislature's feeling is on having the program continue in any other iteration. And I'll just leave it at that.
Now, Madam Chair, as LFO also, if you see at the last sentence of that item under package 121, also is not supporting the use of state funding for WRI at this time. Item J, next package is package 122, and this is additional support for the IMST. And for the same reason as package 121, we're recommending denial of this package. And again, if in the 9901 biennium, IMST did receive additional funding from OWEB from federal monies provided from NIMS under the first installment of the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Program. And so, again, if IMST went through the grant process and applied to OWEB, that would be up to them whether they would provide that funding, additional support for that program.
Madam Chair?
Senator Dukes.
Okay. I think, now I could have missed some of that, but I think we're wandering into an area there that's been bothering me for about the last, most of today anyway, while I've been running into these. So there's no state money out there for IMST? There's no lottery money out there for IMST? We are anticipating that OWIL will give the money?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, there's $400,000 in the base program of lottery funds on the operating side, and that's been the amount, the base funding for the IMST that's been provided. Last, in 1901, the OWEB decided to provide them additional support. And, this package had intended to continue that practice, and the governor supported that initially with federal funds, but then decided that these federal funds were under the existing memorandum of agreement between NIMS and OWEB could only be decided how they would be used by OWEB, despite the fact that the Constitution states that only the legislature can appropriate funds.
Yes, I disagree with that original interpretation of that memorandum of agreement. I just wanted to make sure we weren't leaving the IMST on the cold. It sounds like we're not, so good.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, there will be approximately at least $9 million in the first biennium, less various things that have been identified that could be used for that purpose. And there could be more in the second year of the biennium also. The next package or adjustment is LFO Adjustment Package 1, which is a reduction of S&S capital outlay by the 3% that has been the practice of the committee. And that totals $30,200 lottery funds. On page 8 of the spreadsheet and item L of the memo on page 4, the next LFO adjustment package is the reduction of out-of-state travel by 1%, and this amounts to $113 lottery funds. The next two packages are grant proposals that the agency is bringing forward that would increase a federal funds limitation. Item M is LFO Adjustment Package 3, which would increase federal funds limitation for a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service grant. This grant was in the amount of $138,875. This grant was approved for application by the Emergency Board in June. The grant has now been received and will be used to restore estuarine wetlands on two sites near the Smith and Umpqua Rivers. And because of the timing of receipt of these funds, the agency will not be able to expend them until the 0103 biennium, and so the limitation is being provided now. They had not received limitation for this grant prior to this action.
Mr. Rocco, if I might interject here. Mr. Huntington, can you tell the committee what the scope of this project is?
Certainly, Madam Chair, and actually I have a handout that is a one-pager that might help a little bit if I can provide that to the committee.
Thank you.
This is a very bare-bones handout, but essentially there's a property owner on the Smith River just upstream from its intersection with the Umpqua near Reedsport, who has a 100-acre parcel that was diked pasture, that in a flooding event a few years back, the dike was breached, and since that time has had flooding of pasture land that has made a large portion of their farm not very usable. They worked with the local Soil and Water Conservation District and developed a project proposal that resulted last year in some funding from a variety of sources, including the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board, to build a new dike for this farm that was not in the original location of the original dike, but in a little bit, and bisected their property so that in the end there was 75 dry pasture acres that were usable to the property owner, and 25 acres were deeded to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife for a wetland habitat. The OWEB came in and I asked for permission to apply for a federal grant and received permission to do that last June. for $138,000 and some odd dollars to be used for two purposes. First, to go in and take out the remaining portion of the old dike that had been breached, the original dike. The new dike is already in place and all was there. This grant is to finish the breaching of the old dike, and then on the second project area, the one that's a little further down on your map, do some riparian planting in a area called Stowe Marsh, which is already owned and operated by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and didn't have anything to do with the original transaction, but it's just a separate parcel. Again, there are a couple of elements of the project. The first phase of this project was all done and completed last summer by the Soil and Water Conservation District. This is the second phase, and the federal funds are exclusively used on the old dike and finishing out the breach that Mother Nature started.
Mr. Huntington, I'm curious about some of the history of how this came to be considered for funding in this way. Do you know if the property owners attempted to repair the original dike themselves?
Madam Chair, the anecdotal information that I have on that is that the project was an extremely costly project, on the order of $250,000 to repair the diking, with some extensive permit requirements that were required from both federal and state agencies as part of doing the work in compliance with the existing wetland fill and removal laws. And I can't tell you whether or how much an attempt the property owners made to go through the process on their own or to secure their own funding to replace the original dike before the local Soil and Water Conservation District got involved. I can say that I have also heard, but I have not spoken to the property owners to confirm, that there was some thought that the location of the original dike would always be problematic for and subject to flooding events, and so there was some reason, at least on the property, to perhaps move the dike inland just a little bit and pick the location that was picked. But again, I haven't spoken to the property owners about that. That's anecdotal information. I was looking behind me to see if a representative from the Oregon Association of Conservation Districts is here, because he's been speaking with the local Soil and Water Conservation District project manager, and he may have more information.
He was here just briefly and went out again.
I do know that OACD, I've been talking to them over the last week quite a bit, and they're very supportive of the project. Feel like this is just exactly the kind of restoration work that OWEB should be engaged in, because it was taking a financial impossibility and making it a possibility, and we're keeping pasture land in production and the property owner whole as part of doing this. The federal grant, again, is kind of swinging around behind the original project and is more aimed at what's left than accomplishing the goal for the property owner. But we will end up with substantially better coho and steelhead habitat as a result of the investment of these federal funds if we're allowed to accept the grant.
Representative Krieger.
Chair, we had a conversation this morning. Were you able to get any figures as to how far it's up the river, how much tidal area is above it, and specifically what type of run we're having there? In other words, if you got a coho or two, that doesn't mean you're going to produce more fish because you got a tidal area, unless you got a substantial 1,000 run of fish. Do you have anything at all in that yet?
I don't have how high above the project area is subject to the tidal influences. I couldn't reach that or the numbers. I do know, based on folks I was able to get a hold of, that there's a substantial coho and steelhead population that uses this area, and because of its closeness to the confluence with the Umpqua, that it's the numbers, at least in my mind, are likely to be fairly substantial. They're both types of native runs are in that area, but I don't have the returning numbers from fish counts.
If I might, I think that the project is a win-win, and it's been very carefully thought out, and it appears to keep productive farmland in farm use, and has aspects that will have the potential to improve fish habitat. But the troubling part about this to me is I recall hearing the grant proposal in the SR2 committee during the interim, and what I recall about it is testimony, and I don't know whether it was from whether it was just hearsay or what, but that there was a great deal of difficulty on the part of the property owners in getting through the permitting system to be able to even work on the dike, and that they essentially gave up on it because, and it may have been because of the cost issues, it may have been because of the difficulty in making it through the bureaucracy of getting the permits, and it may be a combination of those two things. But it would seem to me that we're kind of on a slippery slope here where we've got permitting processes that are too costly and too difficult for people to make it through to actually do what they want to do with their land, and they're put in positions where the next best thing is to give up a piece of their land in order to protect ownership on a piece of it. And I would hope that we would continue to work to try to streamline and simplify the permitting processes so that people didn't have those kinds of problems getting through them, and they were able to get through them in a timely and economically viable type of way. But I don't want to stand in the way of this project. I think that there's been good collaboration on coming up with a solution that may or may not have been caused by the state and federal bureaucracies and the way that they crash together. But I do want that on the record, that it's an issue that I think that the OEB board would do very well to keep an eye on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with much of your comments about the need for streamlining permit processes. We're seeing that with a number of restoration projects now. Time, length, expense.
Further comments or questions on the grant application? Mr. Rocco, would you please proceed?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next item is N on page 4 of the memo, which is, and it's near the top of page 8 of the spreadsheet. This is a small grant amount of $7,000 federal funds that would increase the federal funds limitation to develop a grant matrix. Obviously, in looking at this budget, you can imagine that the agency doesn't need another $7,000 of federal funds limitation. However, LFO wanted to bring this out just to make a point to direct the agency that with this, after this grant is used to develop this matrix of state and federal agency grant programs, which is a very good idea, I think, that we would like to have access to it and be able to see some of these grant program details. And so this is just gentle request to the agency to provide that kind of material.
It's very subtle.
Subtle admonishment, perhaps?
Well, and I think that as we venture further and further into the habitat restoration and water quality area, and more and more agencies and all kinds of organizations get involved in it, it's getting kind of difficult to figure out where all the funding sources are, and this is an important piece.
Madam Chair, I might add that from my perspective, this was a bit of a conundrum for the agency as well, because this is one of those times where we're going to be getting $1,000 from one agency and a couple thousand from another federal agency without ever submitting a grant application. And given our recent discussions about making sure that we are communicating appropriately with oversight committees before we apply for and receive federal funds, it was a little bit of a question on the agency's part in this anyway about how we should be communicating with the legislature when we're simply receiving a check for $1,000 to help produce a product as opposed to applying for a federal grant, going through a review process and then receiving it, even though we have limitations. So I think this is a great solution for doing that.
Thank you. Mr. Ruckert.
Madam Chair, then on page 5, top item O is the next adjustment, which is the next two adjustment packages, 5 and 6, take care of that issue that we talked about earlier about eliminating the federal funds a package of roughly $10 million, and these are the two packages that address that. The first is Package 5, which is a carry-forward limitation for the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Program funds that were received in 1999-01, but unable to be spent. Currently in the agency's base, they have $5,020,000 of limitation going towards this carry forward, but that is not sufficient according to the information that we've received for the agency. So we're recommending increasing that by $3 million to give them a total of approximately $8 million of limitation for those that first year's worth of funds. And this is just due to the fact that they can't get it all out of the door by the end of June. There's no new money here, it's just a limitation issue. This next package, Package 6, is the new money. This is, and this is one reason we wanted to split them so that the committee can see what's old, what's new. The new money is approximately $9 million in a federal grant. The reason the limitation approval here is $8,730,000 is because $270,000, the 3% administration allowance was provided already in Package 120. So the total of that and this gives the $9 million of the first fiscal year grant to OWEB from NIMP's Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Program. In addition to the limitation increase, LFO is also suggesting approval of a budget note to have, since there are no details right now on how OWEB intends to spend this on $8.7 million, we thought it was prudent to have them come forward to the emergency board or legislative fiscal office with at least a plan on how they plan to do that. So there's a budget note there to direct them to do that. The next package is another carry forward package. This is item Q, which is adjustment package 7. LFO here recommends an additional $424,944 of other funds expenditure limitation be provided for. These are from a variety of sources of other funds, not lottery funds, not federal funds, but other sources like the salmon license plate revenues. There's a program for a salmon-friendly power and other kinds of grants like that that the agency receives. And again, this is money that they have already received but are unable to complete the grants by the end of this biennium.
Madam Chair,
was it just that Krieger?
There were projects, Jeff, available that could use this money, but you didn't have time to finish the applications and get the money out the door?
Mr. Huntington?
Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, we have on this, I believe this is relating to projects where we may have committed, but the funds haven't been spent by the grant recipient.
Okay.
And so we do on reimbursables. And so we have a lot of money that the board will have said we can spend up to this amount on this project, but then that will be billed to us over a longer time period.
Okay.
And it is an ongoing money tracking problem in the agency, because it's not uncommon that it takes several years or several funding cycles for the projects to be completed, as you well know.
They're getting behind on the schedules.
What's that?
The completion schedules of projects aren't always done when they think they're going to be done.
Legislative Fiscal Office is going to propose a bill that will take up after we finish the budget that attempts to put a structure on to deal with the rolling forward nature of the funds. Mr. Rocco.
Madam Chair, then the last adjustment package is item R in the bottom of page 5, and it's LFO adjustment package 8. And this is another of these issues that we've been hearing about the ability of getting grants completed and funded within a biennium. In this case, the agency received an appropriation of $3.7 million of general fund for the 1999-01 biennium. for assessments and monitoring and other kind of operating type activities of the agency. Now, they have committed the bulk of this money. They've committed all except $29,000 of it to date. However, they've been unable to spend it all. And since it's general fund, it will revert at the end of the biennium if they do not have it spent. So this is a proposed solution to this by doing two things. First, disappropriating the amount that they have not actually spent to date, which is $1,501,788. So that's a disappropriation that will take effect at the end of the biennium. Then the intention is to reappropriate enough to get them to the first emergency board meeting, which is approximately $375,000 general fund, reappropriate that back to them. And then the difference between those two, the amount that they haven't spent yet and the amount that's going to be reappropriated to them, the $1,126,788, appropriate that as a special purpose appropriation to the emergency board, have them come in and show a detail of the committed projects, how much they've finalized, and then that money can be allocated to them. And this is sort of an accounting presentation that they would have to make. And LFO wants the record to show that there's no intention to withhold this money at all. This is just so that we can be sure that they're getting what they need to get to make that appropriation from 9901 work, and not that they get any more or any less. The only less that they're going to get is that we're proposing is the $29,106 that they haven't committed to date. So we would anticipate a report to the emergency board as soon as possible, probably at the first real emergency board meeting after signing that. After that, Madam Chair, there's several budget notes. That's the last fiscal change to the recommended to the operations program. Item S is a budget note that LFO is recommending to have the agency continue submitting quarterly reports to LFO and the Budget Management Division of Department of Administrative Services. The agency has worked with LFO and BAM during the interim to develop a reporting mechanism that helps everyone know how much of each of these various funding sources have been expended, haven't been expended, how much revenue is there, what is remaining, how many grants there are, where the grants are, and it's a very useful way of finding information on the status of the program at any time. And I don't think the agency would have a problem with this because I think it's helped them, it's helped everyone to have that level of detail, and it's a good tracking mechanism. And we would like to see it continue. Item T is another budget note. And this, again, is related to the structure of the reporting that we see. If you noticed in your budget binder for this time, there was no breakout in the budget detail between operations, capital expenditure, or the Restoration and Protection Fund. They were sort of lumped. And in preparation for the new automated budget information tracking system that you've heard about in other agencies, we're recommending that they establish separate program units for these three major accounts that they have, and have the budget reflect those when they come forward next time. U is another budget note. This one is directing OWEB to report to the emergency board on the development of a research study for the Willamette River that's directed towards investigating toxics and fish deformities. The parameters of this research study would be developed in a cooperative way with the independent multidisciplinary science team, Oregon State University, and the Department of Environmental Quality. We would expect this report to include a budget and a work plan and a timeline and some expected outcomes of what the study would do or where it was headed. And we would also expect to see a recommendation on how this project would be funded using the revenue at the that the agency has available to it, including the the Watershed Improvement Operating Fund, the Watershed Improvement Grant Fund, the Restoration Protection Research Fund, and various federal grants, either through OWEB or through one of these other potential partner agencies. Madam Chair, that's the extent of LFO's recommendations for that program unit. The net result you can see on the bottom of page 8 of the spreadsheet, which would be a general fund appropriation of $375,000. And again, that is just a reappropriation of money that they had in the 9901 biennium. Lottery funds limitation of $6,578,488. Other funds limitation of $2,274,939. And federal funds limitation of $17,165,875 with 23 FTE.
Questions or comments on this section of the budget or objections to this section of the budget? Mr. Rocco.
Madam Chair, the next program unit of the agency is the Capital Expenditure Projects Unit, and this is number 2 on page 7 of the memo, and it's it starts on page 9 of the spreadsheet. The first adjustment here is an adjustment package that would provide additional carry-forward limitation to the agency of $5,266,089 lottery funds. After this, the total carry forward, because the agency has some carry forward in the grant program in their base, the total amount that would be provided would be $15,768,023. The reasons for this amount is due to the way OWEB grants makes grants, and this is the carry forward issue that we've talked about. OWEB gets quarterly allotments from the lottery, and they try to spread that out over the biennium so that they're not allocating money that they don't have yet, and they try to have a grant cycle that spreads it out over the whole 24 months of the biennium. And I think their last award cycle just occurred in May. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So this is one of the reasons why we proposed the change in House Bill 5052, which we'll get to next, is to deal with this kind of a carry-forward issue. And over time, if you would just think about having projects last for maybe 4 years before they're totally completed, and if they start in the last couple of months of the current biennium, then you're going to always have to have these carry forward needs, and it's what it does is it makes the agency's budget it's hard to track the real changes in the budget because you're always providing different amounts of carry forward limitation. And we feel the way to address that is by considering these kinds of grant projects in the Measure 66 capital expenditure side of the budget, similar to capital construction, in that a capital construction budget is for a 6-year time period. And language that we're proposing in House Bill 5052 would give the agency 6 years to expend the monies that they receive each biennium for the capital expenditure grant pot before they would have to come and ask for adjustments to that. And we think that they would be much more likely to be able to use up that entire amount of money within that 6-year period than a 2-year period. The other recommended change is package 123, which is on the next page of the spreadsheet, and this is a recommended increase of $2,547,973 of lottery funds, and this is due to the revised May forecast that provides additional revenues to the agency's capital projects. This amount is higher than that in the governor's recommended budget by the $2.5 million simply because the governor had the numbers from the December forecast, and we have better numbers now. And so this, we feel, would adjust the total to the proper amount based on the latest forecast number. And the only other change, this, the only other change would be a budget note to direct the agency to continue the fish screening program that was initiated with watershed improvement grant funds in the 9901 biennium when the OWEB transferred $4 million of the capital on the capital side of the Measure 66 revenues for fish screening. The limitation for this would be provided in the Department of Fish and Wildlife budget. And again, we're suggesting that the same process that was put into place between the two agencies through an agreement be continued to allow that program to maintain activity in developing fish passage and fish screens statewide.
So the bottom line numbers?
With those changes, Madam Chair, the total that you see on the spreadsheet would be a lottery funds limitation of $46,007,418. However, if, and this is going to be, when we get to the amendments, I think we will talk about how that can be adjusted if the committee wants to split this capital expenditure piece out of this budget and put it into House Bill 5052.
Let's take that issue up when we talk about that bill. Questions, comments, or concerns or objections to LFO's recommendation for the capital expenditure projects?
And Madam Chair, if I could refer you back to this other single page spreadsheet, you can see the net new amount available to the Oregon Watershed Improvement Board for capital projects in the middle column. If you look down at the OWEB total, that's $26.2 million of new money available for capital projects that has no legislative direction towards at this point.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the final program unit of the agency is the Restoration and Protection Research Fund. This fund was established by the legislature in House Bill 3225 last session after legislative interest was expressed about the need for research on things affecting endangered species listings and with the realization that there wasn't a lot of research money available. So the idea was to divert interest earnings from these lottery monies, because the legislature knew that the lottery monies were going to be sitting in the watershed improvement grant fund for a while, because they knew about this process that OWEB had to go through to deliver grants and to make sure the grants were completed before they released funding for them. So the legislature decided to set up this account to capture the interest earnings and use it for research. Currently, and last biennium, the legislature provided a $1 limitation to this account to allow it to grow so that they could see how much would be available in 0103. Currently, there's a slightly over $1.3 million in this account. There are no identified uses for this money in the governor's recommended budget. The only use so far has been Senate Bill 234, which identified $500,000 coming from that fund to finance a study of the Willamette, fish deformities in the Willamette. So Legislative Fiscal is recommending continuing just the $1 lottery fund limitation at this time and waiting to see the status of Senate Bill 234, which did appropriate $500,000 out of this fund. And we're recommending including a budget note that reflects activity on the Conservation Hatchery Improvement Program as one potential source for using some of the money in this account for reviewing how the state's hatcheries are functioning within the parameters of the federal, the changing regulations of the federal, under the Federal Endangered Species Act. This budget note would have OWEB consult with Fish and Wildlife, Department of Fish and Wildlife, National Marine Fisheries Service, and the IMST to review some proposals on how the best way would be to develop a conservation hatchery improvement program. And then also look at whether or not this research and protection fund would be a proper use for that kind of activity. And then if so, the agency can come to the emergency board with a request for expenditure limitation from the fund. So the budget that LFO is proposing does not use any of the money in that fund, pending outcome of Senate Bill 234.
Madam Chair.
Representative Crum.
Senate Bill 224 is Senator Yee's bill appropriating for the, and that is appropriating the interest earnings, $500,000, $500,000 in interest earnings. Is that correct,
Ken? Madam Chair, Representative Crum, it's, it's Senate Bill 234. I'm sorry, I wasn't probably clear. And you're correct. It appropriates the interest earnings out of this Restoration and Protection Research Fund, which has a balance of $1.3 million right now.
Okay. There's a reason I'm not a CPA, because I'm not getting the figures here. If it's $1.3 million and Senate Bill 234 calls for $500,000, and that's in a biennium, are we able to earn that much interest on $1.3 million in 2 years? That's a pretty good rate of return.
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, the interest comes from this. For example, in the 0103 biennium, the $26 million that the agency will receive for new capital projects, that is what is generating the interest that goes into the restoration.
Not the 1.3.
The 1.3 is the results of
is interest that is generated.
It is an interest account. It's a diversion of the interest from the money, the lottery monies the agency gets for operations and capital expenditures into a separate fund.
And there is, Madam Chair and Ken, there is no appropriation of the $1.3 million directly. So in other words, in this biennium, that $1.3 million is going to sit there.
Representative Krupp, if I might try to clarify here, it was only in the last biennium that we actually set up the mechanism that the Measure 66 money was funneled through. And so it's only been since the last legislative session that the interest gathering account dedicated to research has existed. So the $1.3 million represents the interest income that's been generated by the principal used for the funding of watershed projects and the watershed coordinators in the last biennium.
And so, Madam Chair, the interest appropriation that is in Senate Bill 234 of $500,000 will be deducted from the 1.3. Or it will be deducted,
yes,
from the 1.3.
It will be. But bear in mind that this is the fund is constantly accumulating interest, which is constantly being transferred into the fund. Mr. Huntington.
Madam Chair, I would also just want to add that the reason there has not been an appropriation in the 9901 biennium from this, or a request from OWEB to be spending it, is the OWEB board agreed to go through a process with the Oregon Plan IMST and others to collect and prioritize research needs that would be best suited for spending this pot of money on, and agreed that we would not seek authority to expend any of the money in this research fund until we had gone through that process. And the IMST 2 months ago released their set of initial priorities, and we're working through that process right now and would expect to have a list of priority options for research expenditures in the fall, late fall to by Christmas time, I would suspect. And so we will have, I think, a very good take on potential opportunities for spending this fund and other monies on research coming in the late fall. And that would be the task that we're working on right now. And so we held off asking to expend any of this fund until that had occurred.
So Madam Chair, this money is intended for research, restoration and protection research of the watersheds.
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, that was the legislative intent, I believe, when the fund was established, yes.
And so we're being consistent with the legislative intent by Senate Bill 234 in terms of researching the fish deformities.
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, that would certainly be an eligible research project that could fall into the target of the fund.
And I'm assuming then, Madam Chair, that the remainder, which would be by my count, what, about 800,000?
And growing.
Is unobligated at this point?
That's correct.
Okay.
And Representative Krupp, that would be in, at this point in time, in 2 years, there would be another at least 1.3 million, probably more, because of the carry forward nature of these monies, because that would still earn interest and it would go into this account. So it will be a growing account and a steady source of revenue for research activities.
So then study and research activity having to do with restoration and protection of watersheds would be appropriate uses of this money in any form, whether it's through Senate bills or through budget notes. Or what the board approves. That's the intent of this money, and it would be best used for that purpose.
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, a budget note does not require compliance by an agency. If it was a direction, if you wanted to make it certain, you'd have to make an appropriation out of that account and give an entity limitation to spend the money. A budget note is merely asking OWEB to consider to do something with that money, and it would be up to their process to determine it, and you could give them as much you could express your needs as strongly as you wanted, but it would still be an OWEB decision how to do it if you use the budget note process.
Okay, but the only other great alternative is the Senate Bill 234 process, where you're seeking a direct appropriation for this purpose. And where is Senate Bill 234, Ken?
Senate Bill 234 passed both the Senate and the House, and is, I think, awaiting action by the governor. I don't know if it's actually been signed by the president and speaker or not, but I can check real quick.
Darn.
Representative Krieger.
Madam Chair, that last budget note sounded real good, and I've been reading it. It talks about OWEB is directed to review proposals to develop a conservation habitat improvement program, which the Department of Fish and Wildlife is already doing. CHIP. Then it says who they consult with and review proposals. Who within OWEB has that expertise of your employees?
Mr. Huntington.
Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, I read that budget note as requesting the OWEB staff to establish a process that will ultimately end up with the Oregon with the OWEB board having before it a CHIP proposal that is the product of the Department of Fish and Wildlife, National Marine Fisheries Service, the IMST, with a something for the OWEB board to consider as a potential allocation of funds that are available to them. I do not have on staff individuals that can do a technical evaluation of a CHIP proposal, but I do have a board that's comprised of a member from each of the Natural Resource Agency boards and commissions and access to their staffs to help develop information and put together things in front of the board for their consideration. So we would treat this the way we treat a lot of data proposals and others, where we go to the agencies with the expertise and collect as many different variety of views as we can to pull it together, synthesize it, and put a package in front of the board with folks sitting down at a table in front of them that they can ask a lot of questions of and sort through it and what the appropriate budget would be for it.
Representative Krieger, do you have a follow-up?
I'm a little uncomfortable the way it's worded and where I think it might be going. I think it circumvents.
Did you want to put an intent statement on the record?
Well, 29-0. I'm wondering if it doesn't circumvent the Department of Fish and Wildlife's authority, statute of who's supposed to be doing this, as someone else looking at it. I don't mind them consulting with people, but it almost looks like it puts OWEB as the lead agency in that particular program.
I think, Representative Krieger, if I might clarify, the intent here is to have OWEB look at the CHIP proposal as a grant proposal, and if they decide that it's worthy going ahead with the project, the money would actually be appropriated to ODFW as a grant, and ODFW would be the agency that oversees it. Am I correct in my assessment?
Madam Chair, that's exactly the way I would see it as well. It would be in the context of a grant, a potential funding source, OWEB would be playing that role, not as an administrator of the program.
Did you require additional clarification?
No, except for I think maybe we need another sentence in there that maybe states that a little bit more clearly, the process and where we're going to go to, and it's the intent of what it would do for the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dukes.
It would really be a good idea if we postponed this whole discussion. I don't like the budget note at all. I've raised the issue to the co-chairs and reminded them of past commitments, and they're going to take another look at this. This begins a process all over again. The Coastal Salmon Production Task Force spent 2 years, actually 4 years, but two concentrated, the last 2 years specifically, working in this direction. And to this opens it up to anybody who wants to submit a proposal to OWEB. The funding that's left here isn't adequate to do what the task force put has brought to the legislature. We sat with members of the IMST at our meetings. The IMST has reviewed those proposals. And this sort of starts the process all over again. I think this is a much higher level program than what it's being given here. As I said, I've had a conversation with them, and they have suggested that they, at least one of them has suggested that he didn't realize that it was in this shape and would take another look at it.
Hey, Senator Dukes, could you suggest amendments? Because the intent of the budget note is to use the recommendations of the interim work group.
Things I can't say here, but I'm still hoping to get this as a funded program. And there are no guarantees here. I think he said something about 800,000 in this particular pot of money after the other program is funded. And this is a $1.6 million program. So it does come up a little bit short. And I'm frustrated at the moment. You had absolutely nothing to do with it. I had some commitments earlier, and they didn't materialize. So I went in to find out why. And there was a lot of question marks hanging around. And they're going to take a look at those question marks. So.
Okay. We have an extremely tight schedule to get everything through here before we get shut down, and it is very important that we move this budget today. Where does that leave us with this?
I guess that would be up to the Senate co-chair, because I'm not voting for it. I'm not going to sit here in front of the microphones and explain some of the stuff that's going on. We probably ought to have some of those conversations.
The committee will be in recess for a few minutes. Well, Senator
Excellent
Dukes
suggestion.
And I have a holding moment.